Through the Looking Glass, written by Lewis Carroll, narrated by B.J. Harrison. Introduction. Child of pure, unclouded brow and dreaming eyes of wonder, though time be fleet, and I and thou are half a life asunder, thy loving smile will surely hail the love gift of a fairy tale. I have not seen thy sunny face, nor heard thy silver laughter. No thought of me shall find a place in thy young life's hereafter. Enough that now thou wilt not fail to listen to my fairy tale. A tale begun in other days, when summer suns were glowing, a simple chime that served to time the rhythm of our rowing, whose echoes live in memory yet, though envious years would say, forget. Come, hearken then, ere voice of dread with bitter tidings laden shall summer to unwelcome bed a melancholy maiden. We are but older children, dear, who fret to find our bedtime near. Without, the frost, the blinding snow, the storm wind's moody madness. Within, the firelight's ruddy glow, and childhood's nest of gladness. The magic words shall hold thee fast, thou shalt not heed the raving blast. And though the shadow of a sigh may tremble through the story, for happy summer days gone by, and vanished summer glory, it shall not touch with breath of bale the pleasance of our fairy tale. Chapter 1. Looking Glass House. One thing was certain, that the white kitten had had nothing to do with it. It was the black kitten's fault entirely. For the white kitten had been having its face washed by the old cat for the last quarter of an hour, and bearing it pretty well, considering. So you see that it couldn't have had any hand in the mischief. The way Dinah washed her children's faces was this. First, she held the poor thing down by its ear with one paw, and then with the other paw she rubbed its face all over, the wrong way, beginning at the nose. And just now, as I said, she was hard at work on the white kitten, which was lying quite still and trying to purr, no doubt feeling that it was all meant for its good. But the black kitten had been finished with earlier in the afternoon, and so, while Alice was sitting curled up in a corner of the great armchair, half talking to herself and half asleep, the kitten had been having a grand game of romps with the ball of worsted Alice had been trying to wind up, and had been rolling it up and down till it had all come undone again. And there it was, spread over the hearth rug, all knots and tangles, with the kitten running after its own tail in the middle.
"Oh, you wicked, wicked little thing!"
cried Alice, catching up the kitten and giving it a little kiss to make it understand that it was in disgrace.
"Really, Dinah ought to have taught you better manners. You ought, Dinah, you know you ought,"
she added, looking reproachfully at the old cat, and speaking in as cross a voice as she could manage. And then she scrambled back into the armchair, taking the kitten and the worsted with her, and began winding up the ball again. But she didn't get on very fast, as she was talking all the time, sometimes to the kitten and sometimes to herself. Kitty sat very demurely on her knee, pretending to watch the progress of the winding, and now and then putting out one paw and gently touching the ball, as if it would be glad to help if it might.
"Do you know what tomorrow is, Kitty?"
Alice began.
"You'd have guessed if you'd been up in the window with me. Only Dinah was making you tidy, so you couldn't. I was watching the boys getting in sticks for the bonfire, and it wants plenty of sticks, Kitty. Only it got so cold, and it snowed so, they had to leave off. Never mind, Kitty. We'll go and see the bonfire tomorrow."
Here Alice wound two or three turns of the worsted round the kitten's neck, just to see how it would look. This led to a scramble, in which the ball rolled down upon the floor and yards and yards.